ever have a fort when you were a kid?
Maybe it was a treehouse.
Maybe you took a bunch of blankets and threw them over the coffee table and put some stuffed animals in there and some snacks and a flashlight, and that was your sanctuary. That was your place. And you were safe there, and you were content there. Did you ever fall asleep in the car when you were a kid? And your mom or your dad picked you up and carried you into the house and took off your shoes and tucked you into bed. You could rest safe because you knew that you were secure. You were sheltered in the arms and in the heart of someone bigger and stronger and, well, someone who'd look after you. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things. St. Paul wrote that. Maybe one of the things that we put away when we become teens or adults is that sense of security, of being guarded and protected and safe. Maybe you gave up that assurance somewhere along the way, that somebody else is in charge. Children need that kind of security. And you know what? Adults do too. We do. We need to feel, we need to know that we are all right. Remember that scene in Jesus Christ Superstar when Mary Magdalene sings to Jesus, "Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. No, don't you know? Everything's all right. Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight." And you know what? Sometimes you do. The reason children do is that they know that they're sleeping under someone else's arms, somebody else's shelter. That is, if their parents are able to take sufficient care of them. But children might also be surprised and maybe even alarmed to know that that adults need, well, we need shelter too. Some of us are frightened. Some of us are in danger. Some of us have been betrayed. Some have had devastating news or disappointments. Some have experienced losses. Some have discovered that everything is not all right, everything is not fine. To all who need it, God has a word. It's today's psalm, part of our Summer in the Psalms, a series. It's a word of comfort and hope. This is the 91st psalm. Listen. "You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You shall say to the Lord, 'You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God, in whom I put my trust.' God shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. God's pinions will cover you. You shall find refuge under the wings of the Lord, whose faithfulness shall be a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that stalks in darkness, nor of the sickness that lays waste at midday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Your eyes have only to behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall be no evil. There shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For God shall give the holy angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and serpent under your foot. because you are bound to me in love. Therefore, I will deliver them. I will protect them because they know my name. They shall call upon me and I will answer them. I'm with them in trouble. I will rescue them and bring them home. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's one of the great themes of the Bible. God is our dwelling place, our shelter. God will cover you with pinions. It means that you'll find shelter under God's wings. Now, if you're like me, you usually think of those as eagle's wings, especially if you're from Philly. Those are the strongest and most protective wings that I can imagine. At least, that's how I used to think of it until I had the opportunity to study for a while with Dr. Kevin McGowan. Kevin is an ornithologist at Cornell. I learned so many things from him. I learned that there are 10,000 species of birds on this planet, and that all of them are connected, and that all of them are important for the survival of all the rest. In fact, for the survival of everything. So be careful with all of them. I learned that some ducks sleep with one eye open. You probably noticed how ducks sleep in groups, and those ducks that are on the periphery of the group will sleep with one eye open, keeping awake one side of its brain, so that the ducks that are on the center of the gathering can sleep deeply, peacefully. I learned that the great horned owl has a wingspread of 5 feet. And not only that, but it can turn its head 280 degrees. The hyacinth macaw can generate 3,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. Now you talk about protection. I asked Kevin about the gospel text that Ed and Marlon read for us when Jesus said, "I have desired to gather you as a hen gathers her brood beneath her wings." I said, "What does that mean?" And Kevin laughed and he said, "Yes, Jesus was calling himself a mother hen." And boy, did they ever do that. He's told me that they have 200 different sounds chickens do that they make for all kinds of purposes, but some of them to communicate. And if there is a danger or some sort of threat, maybe weather or a predator, the hen will make a noise and the chicks will come running from everywhere and hide underneath her wings for shelter. Humans can take a lesson from the birds. The psalmist says, God will cover you with pinions. Under God's wings, you will find refuge. Now, young birds know this. So how come we don't? Have you noticed what we do? I mean, maybe you don't, but I think we all do this sometimes. We say to God, "You can't make me." Or some of us say, "I don't need God." Really? All we have to do is trust. Trust and obey. There's a song that says that. So why do so many of us refuse God's protection and God's grace? Maybe it's stubborn pride. Maybe we're simply angry at God, and that's all right. This psalm is sometimes called the warrior psalm, and you can see why. The psalmist declares, "You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you." Some soldiers in the First World War used to recite this psalm every day for protection. In the 19th century, Christians who used it in prayer said that they survived epidemics and plagues that killed thousands. Rabbis and preachers and priests read the psalm following the 9/11 attacks. But it was really not intended to be a talisman. This is a hymn. It's a praise song. It's an affirmation of faith. It's a celebration of God's deliverance written by someone who's been delivered. And it's real. Some of you know that Jimmy Stewart, the Academy Award-winning actor, was also a Presbyterian elder. Dave Carpenter, who is the pastor today of the church where Jimmy Stewart served, said that on Communion Sunday, when he would serve communion, that his fans used to show up and sit in his section so that they could be served by their movie star idol. So, Jimmy, as you know, perhaps, was also a war hero. When the United States entered World War II in 1941, he enlisted in the Army Air Corps and prepared to go overseas. His father, also a veteran, wanted to say so many things to his son, but every time he tried to talk to him, he just choked up. He couldn't speak. So he wrote to him. He wrote a letter to him that he told him he wanted to read en route. Here's what it said. "My dear Jim boy, soon after you read this letter, you will be on your way to the worst sort of danger. Jim, I'm banking on the enclosed copy of the 91st Psalm, the thing that takes the place of fear and worry is the promise of these words. I'm staking my faith on these words. I feel sure that God will lead you through this mad experience. I can say no more. I only continue to pray for you. God bless you and keep you. I love you more than I can tell you. Dad." Well, maybe you know the rest of the story. Jimmy Stewart did return home a hero. He flew 20 missions. During the height of battle, he said he learned to lean on the promise of the 91st Psalm, which speaks of God as a refuge and a fortress. St. Anthony, the 3rd century Egyptian founder of monasticism, used this prayer to scatter the enemies of the faith during persecution. It's also cherished today in modern-day Africa, where it's used for exorcism and spiritual protection. The Nigerian scholar David Adamus notes that the Bible offers many promises of protection, but in Psalm 91, all the promises seem to be brought together in one collection, a covenant, a promise. This psalm, these verses are authentic. They're an outpouring of God's word. But John Calvin, our spiritual forebearer and the founder of Presbyterianism, would like me to say to you that this is not a good luck charm. There's no superstition allowed. Believers suffer along with everybody else. We know this. The psalmist knew that too. You know, it's what it means to be vulnerable. It's what it means to be like God, because God became vulnerable. Just because I quote this psalm doesn't mean that I can jaywalk across Ritchie Highway at rush hour. It doesn't mean that you can smoke 3 packs a day and expect it not to harm you. Sometimes we fool ourselves. Or somebody else fools us. Remember, too, the devil can quote scripture. It's happened. In fact, it was this very psalm that Satan tried to use to manipulate Jesus at his temptation in the wilderness. Go ahead, the devil said. Go ahead. Throw yourself down off this tower. For it's written, God shall give the holy angels charge of you to bear you up, lest you cast your foot against a stone. I mean, that is exactly what it says here in this psalm. But Jesus was not so easily fooled. This psalm is not about putting the Lord Jesus to the, it's not about putting the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus said as much. Jesus couldn't be fooled, but we can, and we are sometimes too often. Satan knows the Bible, knows how to quote scripture to create chaos. So what's a believer to do? Well, for one thing, don't believe everybody who can quote a Bible verse to you. History is full of cults and villains who have done just that. Instead of believing everyone who throws a scripture at you, read scripture for yourself. Read it all. Get to know it. Don't pull passages out of context. Read them in their context and pray. Pray for understanding. Trust God and obey the parts of the Bible you do understand. And in time, the message of the whole scripture will come very, very clear. Jesus called the devil's bluff. He said, and now I'm paraphrasing, he said, God's wings of protection are real, but certain restrictions apply. You cannot act like a fool and expect God to bail you out. God will sometimes do that. We all have stories where that sort of thing happened. But you can't count on it, so don't. Okay, so he didn't say exactly that, but that's what he meant. Anyway, Neil Plantinga is the former president of Calvin Seminary. He wrote about this text. He wrote, if the children of God were always saved from floods like Noah and his family, if every time somebody pointed a gun at a Christian, the gun magically turned into a salami, if we really had a money-back guarantee against hatred or disease or terrorism, then of course we wouldn't have to worry about church growth. Our churches would fill with people attracted to the faith for the benefit plan. These are people who want an insurance agent, not a church. What would happen to faith if following Jesus meant you were exempt from job loss or accidents or illness or harm? If faith had instant rewards, what kind of faith would it be? No faith, I guess. No faith at all. The fact that God offers a shelter in all circumstances doesn't mean that trouble goes away. It means that God is there with us through everything. This psalm says that trouble will not harm us. It assumes trouble. Listen, because they are bound to me in love, says the Lord, therefore I will deliver them. I will protect them because they know my name. They shall call upon me and I will answer them. I am with them in trouble. But let's be honest. There are a lot of people who don't find shelter under God's wings. It's there, but they are kept from experiencing it by circumstances or because the system is simply rigged against them. Some are facing diseases and have no access to medical care. Some lack clean water. Some have no homes. Some kids don't have loving parents to carry them upstairs at night. Some are abused, neglected, or even trafficked. Some come from good homes, but simply make bad choices. And God has set the church down in the midst of all of this brokenness and fear to be the shelter of God. Shelter for those in trouble. Do you hear that? These aren't just metaphorical eagle's wings the psalmist is talking about. They're ours. Our arms of Jesus, the body of Christ on earth. This is the church. And some of you have already experienced this. You've been Stephen ministers or deacons, or you've been on a mission trip, or you've helped out at Winter Relief or at Woods Work or in any one of a thousand other ministries of this church. And you've seen that Jesus Christ is our shelter. I hope that we will always be like the fledgling birds that scuttle underneath his wings for protection, because he is our safe place. He's our home. Let's pray. Sheltering God, we believe that your word is true. But this is not simple knowledge. It's our conviction. A deeply rooted assurance given to us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. And so we ask you to help us embrace this truth today. May it penetrate our minds and take root in our souls in the sanctuary of your grace, made real for us in Jesus. We place our lives in your hands, fully and absolutely in your perfect care. And we ask for your shelter, your hope, and your life to be in us now and throughout our lives, in heaven and on earth, forever. Amen.